When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
So it's about that time, isn't it, AT? You do, what, like 50 hits with us, and I'll do one with you? Is that the equation we're going with?
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. I mean, and, you know, I will tell you guys, you know, a little bit of a bummer. Well, not a bummer, but I'll be traveling the next 2 weeks, Phil. So, one, I will not be on with you guys. But that means you're down to one this year because, you know, by the time I get back, I think the field for Omaha is going to be set. Obviously, I hope the Razorbacks are there. So maybe we will do a second one. But the regional and super regional weekends, I will be away. Now, I'll be, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm going to have my phone by the pool monitoring every Oregon State, Southern Utah game that you can imagine, but you might only have to do one this year, Phil. So I'm letting you off the hook a little bit easy this year.
Where are vacations this year for you in the summer? Because this is the only time you can do it before like media days of college football and everything starts in a couple months.
No doubt, and you know I'm grateful because I know even somebody like you, you don't even get most of June. You know, I always say, you know, really about mid May to mid July is kind of relaxation time for me. So yeah, we'll be going to Mexico next week. Excited wife, you know, sister-in-law, we're gonna have a good time, you know, drink a lot of cold beverages. And then I come back and actually I always do a guy's trip to Vegas, and it just so happened that this year, just the way the schedule fell, they basically fall back to back. Now I'll be home for like a day or two in between, but by this time next Friday I'll be on a beach with a drink in my hand, and by the following Friday, I'll be waking up probably around this time with, you know, probably a drink in my hand as well. So in
a
casino somewhere.
And a tiger in the room, too, of course. That's just how things work.
And a tiger in the room and a ticket and a winning ticket from, because I bet Arkansas the previous day in that college baseball. I guess it would be the super regional by that point. So, yeah.
Smart move. Hey, well, how about this? A year from now, we're already going to be talking about it. I guess in the next year, one of the things that dominates over the conversation of college sports with the settlement from the Power Five schools yesterday. And it sounds like the kind of strong arming the lower level Division One conferences. Next year, you know, once you get into the 2025, 2026 college athletics calendar, schools are paying players. And
I know.
And I mean, look at all the other things going on. We're talking about a former quarterback recruit suing the coach who had recruited him. We're talking about private equity now potentially putting credit in to schools' athletic departments potentially. Now the schools are going to pay the players, man. And everything is changing. Everything is changing, and it's after everything's already changed for the last 4 or 5 years.
Well, yeah, and no doubt. And, you know, listen, it's changed so much. And I think, you know, we had to get to this point. Now, what I'm curious about is, you know, what is to stop a collective or whatever from, you know, Phil Elson, the five-star quarterback, just because he's making a certain amount of money from, you know, the collective bargaining or whatever we're calling it, revenue sharing, I guess is the right way to put it. I don't think it stops schools from overspending on other guys as well. So I'm curious what that looks like. But, you know, we had to get here, Phil. And you know, I don't think it's like a shocking thing for me to say that, you know, we couldn't just keep going on with collectives basically funding the whole team. That wasn't a sustainable model. I know that at a school like Arkansas, at a school like Ohio State, at Miami, at whatever, you know, you're fortunate enough to have some high-level boosters that want to help support the school. But when we're talking about so many football players and we're talking about the money that was coming in for basketball this offseason, there's just only so much money to go around. And I know sometimes you think it's a never-ending pit, but again, even at the biggest schools, it isn't. And so now some of the onus, quote-unquote, is off the boosters, you know, and I think it's going to – we've already been heading towards a professional model. I think it's only going to continue. And I think, you know, a lot of the stuff, you know, some of the perks, some of the facility stuff, blah, 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 it might go to the wayside to help the players, but that's the world we live in. This is where we were headed. And it's probably ultimately probably best for everybody in college sports.
Well, we continue to wait on finishing touches on Arkansas men's basketball roster. It's been a couple weeks. Still haven't heard anything from DJ Wagner. I think Kentucky's still waiting too. And it's this, you know, like any move that Arkansas makes, you're always looking at what Kentucky does too. And you know, the programs will be tied together because of the last couple of months, really. But you know, we're still waiting because I think, what do you got, 8 players right now or 7 players, and you're still waiting for another two.
I still think DJ Wagner. I understand, you know, I don't know if it's trepidation as much. It's just, you know, the gift pointing at the clock waiting for this to all happen. I understand the whatever emotion it is that you just want this done. I still think it's going to be Arkansas, and it's for a few reasons. Most of the obvious ones, the relationship with both, you know, the family's relationship, not just, and people forget, and I'm sure you've talked about it, but, you know, it's not just Calipari, it's Kenny Payne, too, the 50-year relationship at this point, 40-year relationship with DJ Wagner's grandfather, Milt. They were teammates at Louisville. So I think it's going to get done. You know, I've said consistently, and I probably even said it on this show last week when we were even on DJ Wagner watch last week, is that he's just never been the type of kid that, you know, does a million interviews, and I keep saying it, but he's not the kid that does the Joe Tipton, here's my top 10, then here's my top 3, then here's my top 2, then I'll make my announcement at 5 p.m. on YouTube. Like, it's just not how he's ever operated. And so I think it gets done. Obviously, I think it has to. And then really quickly, I'm just curious where Cal goes from there. I know that he wants to keep a slimmer rotation of, I guess, what he believes to be impact players. But I do still think you got to find some guys in the back end of the portal, maybe some high school recruits, I guess, in theory. Cause obviously, you know, you can't go into it with just 8 players. You can't even run a full practice at that point. So I still think there are guys in the portal that would love to come to Arkansas, be a part of that program, play in the SEC, play for a Hall of Fame coach. But I am curious how he fills out at least scholarships 9 and 10. And we'll see if he gets to 11, 12, 13, et cetera.
So with the change in college sports and you already have NIL payments, but you're going to get to a place where players are paid by the school through this revenue sharing, and there can still be third party NIL deals that go along with this. No, it's, and I think you even brought it up when we talked to you last week or the week before. One of the teams in the G League that has been designed for high school players to step in there, I think the Ignite, is folding. These things seem, they have to go hand in hand. You know, are we going to get to a place where there might be a little more of an influx of the younger, I guess the word would be the more highly talented players coming in rather than looking to get to the lower levels of the pros immediately after high school? Do you think that'll happen?
I think that we're already seeing it now, even with the NIL as it is, where, you know, usually this time of year, Phil, the NBA draft deadline is next week. It's May 29th, Wednesday, May 29th, where if you want to play college basketball next year to be NCAA eligible, you have to remove your name from the NBA draft by May 29th, which is next Wednesday. And it's weird because it's usually this big thing where there's a million kids and it could swing 10, 12, 15 teams. And this year it feels like there's a few. Mark Sears is part of that, whatever. But it's not as many as I seem to remember. And I just think it's because, you know, the kids that are on the fence could just say, I'm going to come back and play college basketball. I'm going to get NIL at, you know, like a, as an example, like the Jonas Adu. I think, you know, 3-4 years ago, third year guy, kind of second team all SEC, whatever he was, he probably just sits there and says, you know what, I got to go make some money somewhere. John L. Davis, I have my degree. I'm just going to go make some money. And now it's like with NIL, it's allowed these guys to come back. So I think we're already seeing it. And I think it's only going to continue. By the way, on the football side, you know, there were a lot of guys, especially at the quarterback position, that, you know, I could be a fourth, fifth round pick, but, you know, I'm going to make more money playing at Ohio State or playing at fill in the blank school, whatever, if I just come back. So I think we're already seeing the repercussions. And I do think that is an unintended positive of the NIL era, is I think it's keeping a lot of kids in college that maybe would have considered going pro otherwise. And so, it, you know, it's fascinating how all these things have both positive and negative unintended consequences, but that's one. And now that the schools are more involved, I actually don't expect that to slow down anytime soon.
Aaron, give me three guys that went to the G League and that are having success in the NBA. And I mean, really, like all-star type success. Because I can't think. I mean, Scoot Henderson went to Portland. I know it's his rookie year. But give me three guys that have went to the G League, chose that route. Dante Exum, did he go to Australia and then kind of mess around and come back? But give me three guys.
Well, they don't exist. But, you know, I don't know, it's because the program was a failure. You know, it's funny, the guy who was running the program the last few years, Jason Hart, has since been hired as an assistant on Mark Pope's staff at Kentucky. And I actually think he did a good job with the program. Now, the program started, I think, in 2020 during COVID. So, you know, there's chances that those guys will develop. So like a Jalen Green, who's playing for the Rockets, Scoot Henderson, who you referenced, Matt, but they don't exist. And what I think it does speak to is, and this is going to sound weird, I think that, you know, listen, there's different rules in the NBA and there's benefits to going pro younger. But I think for years we have undervalued how well college actually develops players for the pros. And I think the NFL gets that, but I think the NBA has decided that college is evil and this and that. And it's like, listen, if you go to Duke or Arkansas or Kentucky or UConn or any of these high-level programs, you're getting first class, you know, nutrition, first class travel. I mean, listen, think about how much the travel conversation has come up with the WNBA, where Caitlin Clark probably hasn't flown commercial for probably 4 years at Iowa. Now she's flying commercial in the WNBA. So I bring it up because I think we undersold the value of college basketball from that perspective, nutritionist, masseuse, meal planning, whatever, blah, 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 weight training, as opposed to going to play in Greensboro, North Carolina, in front of a gym of 1,100 people for a 24-year-old coach that's trying to get to the NBA himself. So, yeah, you know, the program is over. I think it's, I mean, I can't say if it's for the best or not, but I just think that even when the program was going on, I said it at the time, I said, did it make sense? It wasn't going to make money. And if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. But I also said I think we're undervaluing a lot of the things that college does that it doesn't get credit for, the stuff that we just talked about.
You know, one thing that I didn't see reading about this settlement, and if we think that college sports is about to get to a place where You know, it's a little more settled and not so chaotic. I don't know if that's necessarily the truth yet, because this is all monetary stuff. And if we're paying the athletes, you know, a share of the revenue, they're being treated differently than other students on campus. So in this case, I can see where you could potentially find a way, maybe, to limit the number of transfers without sitting. And that doesn't go along with this. I didn't read anything about that in this settlement. This is all just monetary. It's not about freedom of movement to go play. You know, that's a thing that causes chaos as far as
no doubt
the rosters are concerned. And I guess that's something that's got to be addressed too. I just don't think it's part of this settlement.
No, and it gets to an interesting point where, you know, we keep talking about, you know, I keep seeing these articles about unionization and, you know, collective bargaining and players being employees. Okay, well, employees have certain, you know, rights or whatever, but they have certain responsibilities as well. And whenever anyone praises, oh, Dartmouth wants to unionize, it's like, okay, so what's going to happen when that dude averages 3.9 points per game and the coach knows they can get somebody better? Is the, you know, is John Calipari allowed to walk into a locker room like the NFL and say, or Sam Pittman, and say, hey, give me your playbook, it's over? You know, and I think those are still a lot of the questions that remain unanswered, Phil, is, you know, the transfer portal element of it, the employee element of it, where it's like, again, can you cut players? Can you fire players? I know that that stuff is sort of happening anyway, where you kind of process kids out, but it's a little bit more under the radar. But can you just say, hey, are we going to have, you know, like in the NFL, we have cut down day. Is there just going to be, is portal season now going to be cut season where, again, Sam Pittman says, you know, hand me your playbook? And so I just bring it up because I think to get to something a little bit more stable, yesterday was important. But I also think there's still a ton of unanswered questions that I don't think yesterday is the end of something. I think it's probably, you know, we're certainly further along than we were 6 months ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago when NIL came to play. But to your point, Phil, there's still a ton of questions that, frankly, not only, you know, we want answered, they need to be answered to get some sort of stability, hopefully, in this thing we're doing.
AT, let's leave it there. Hope you have a great trip to both Mexico and Vegas, and we'll look forward to revisiting with you in a few weeks.
All right, I'll talk to you when the draw comes out at some point next week. I don't leave till Thursday, so we got plenty of time to break down that field of 64, all 64 teams, every single one. I'm relying on you, Phil.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle has been redefined with a modern design that lets you go further and do more. The exterior is reimagined with compelling proportions and precise detailing, complemented by an interior built with integrity. The Defender capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, its durability has been tested to the extreme. Powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system keep you connected. Innovative camera technologies deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. and robust cargo capacity means more room for your gear. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. To drive the Defender is to explore with greater confidence. Push what's possible with a vehicle made to go further. The Defender 110. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
Hickey & Hole Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey & Hole Law Partners, specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit KevinHickeyLaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
Hi, James. Happy Friday. Are you working, or is your holiday weekend started early?
Oh, I'm working. I've had a couple Fridays where I've had a little me time, so it's back to work.
All right. Well, welcome back to the office, ma'am. Office right now will consist of some baseball. So,
how'd the golf go? Yeah, did you have any birdies?
So I actually had a birdie putt when we were on the phone. I left it short. I blame the broadcast. I wasn't dialed in enough.
Announcer's curse. I like it.
I shot 76, and I had 4 3-putts. First time on those greens. I was not familiar with them. I had a tough time lagging the ball. So I could have had a really good day, but putting killed me.
Hey, 76 is pretty good. That's what Austin Reeves shot at. He was trying to qualify for the Corn Ferry event. Missed it by 11 strokes, but 76 is that's not too bad.
It's almost like him just like
we got a group of guys we play with, and the problem is you know, I'm right around that area, but I'm the worst one of the group. So it's always an uphill battle. And Tyler Spoon, he's in that group. We play often. We had a pretty contentious match last weekend, but. You know, like the ex-Hog players kind of bring the fire. You know, they want to win so bad. And so it's good because you get away for a nice, relaxing round. But it's terrible because sometimes you leave more pissed than when you started.
I think Mason Molina is the best golfer on this year's team. Who's the best former Razorback baseball player golfer that you've played with?
I think Josh Alberius is the best. I know that him and his brother, or actually probably Nate Alberius, you know, he won the club championship at Chenal. You know, a lot of good Little Rock golfers in Chenal, and he actually was trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. He made the qualifier. He didn't qualify last week. He got knocked out. But those two guys are scratch. You know, maybe even plus handicap. So they're better than Spoon and I. But I'd say them too.
Josh would fit too, because that's a guy who was a position player and then converted full time to pitching at Arkansas. So he's got the swing, and he's also, like, I always viewed golf as a pitcher's game, not a hitter's game. You know, because the hitters, during their baseball season, hitters stay away from golf. Pitchers go golfing sometimes every single day. Like, I had a pitching coach, Ken Patterson, who played golf every single day. I had a manager, Tom Gamboa, that sometimes would play 36 holes a day and then go manage a game. But it's not the hitters that play golf, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's a little bit of a myth. They're gonna, you know, it's gonna mess your swing up and all this or that. My pitching actually messed my swing up, so it's the other way around. Because, you know, with the pitching, I was trying to keep that back heel on the rubber as long as possible, because, you know, I'm thinking about driving the hips, so I want to drive the hips with my hamstring and the glutes. So I got to do that through the heel, not through the toe. But now, you know, it's kind of thrown my swing off. So, you know, in hindsight, maybe I'd be a better golfer if I wasn't a pitcher. But who knows?
James, the Razorbacks are going into the NCAA tournament with 3 straight losses and losing 4 of the last 5. What's your level of concern going into a regional?
I'd say not super concerned. Best time to lose would be now. I was talking to my wife. It's like, well, if we lose the first one, we really need to just lose the second one. And, you know, Hagen went on, you know, he went short, you know, there that second game, and some other guys got mixed in. I think the offense has shown a little bit of life. It's just been the pitching that's kind of fallen behind. But I think if we can get back into our weekend feel where we've got a fresh Hagan Smith who can give us depth. We've got Gackle who can close if need be, or other guys who can bridge the gap to get to Gackle, you know, win that first game. Now, granted, he may not throw that first game depending on who the matchup is. But I think our, you know, our recipe that was allowing us to win early on, which is relying on him to get the, you know, at least a win and then pieces, you know, put the pieces together from there, can still work if we can just find another starter who can give us some depth, whether that be Wood or Molina or whoever else.
All right, so that was going to be my next question, was who is it? You know, I mean, Gage has shown reason to give him the ball. But then the last time out, you know, yesterday, didn't pitch so well. That's against a really good Kentucky lineup. I mean, I think Kentucky and A&M are the two toughest lineups that we've seen all year long. So I still think Gage will get it. I think Molina will get a start. And I think he's pitched really well in relief, but I don't think they brought him here to relieve, even though that's where he's looked more comfortable the last two times out. What do you think they do with Molina?
You know, if I'm controlling Molina, what I would say is take that mentality and just start with it. If you give us five instead of six, or if you give us four instead of six or seven, then so be it. I think Molina out of the bullpen, that aggressive approach, throwing a little harder, emptying the tank a little bit sooner, I think he's more effective pitching that way. So let's just do that as a starter, and if it means you go 20 pitches less, then so be it. You know, give the ball to the next guy. I think you got to give him the ball just because he's shown he's, you know, he can get out. And you know, with Tigard and Wood, you know, it's a little bit hit or miss. But look, if he starts and he gives us, you know, five good innings, and then we got a fresh bullpen who can pick up the pieces from there, and you can win game one, and then, you know, Hagan Smith does the same game two, you're really going to be set up. From your opinion, do you throw Hagan game one, or do you wait to see the matchup, or what do you do there?
Yeah, I guess that depends on the opponent and how scary they look, right? Because I want Hagan Smith pitching against the best team outside of Arkansas in the regional. I really do. I think that gives you your best chance to win that ball game. But then that also takes into the idea that whoever starts that Friday, if it's not Hagan Smith, it's somebody who's only made a couple of starts, if it's Gage Wood, or it'd be somebody in Mason Molina that hasn't had a good start. Like, he's pitched well in relief recently, but hasn't had a good start in over a month. So, man, I'm glad Dave's the one and Matt are the guys that are paid to make these decisions, because I could talk myself in circles about this. It's like, this is not the position I thought they'd be in, because starting pitching was the number one strength, and now look where we are.
Yeah, if I'm making the decision, I think if you've got the 1-4 matchup and you've got a team that is, you know, you're not really that scared of, I think Molina has shown enough, and he's shown enough out of the pen, that you let him start, and maybe he's got a short leash. Mm-hmm. You let him start Friday, maybe he's got a short leash. If you need him to come back in 2 days to relieve, he can do it if he doesn't throw a lot. But, you know, if you go out there and you know, Hagan Smith just dominates that Friday game, and then from there you're thinking, all right, Hagan's done. We got to put the pieces together from here, and we don't know where these pieces are going to lie. You know, that's a scary situation, but it's kind of high risk, high reward, because, you know, if Mason Molina goes out there and struggles, and let's say you don't win game one, then you're really in a bind. So, yeah, it's quite the predicament.
So I remember in the 2015 College World Series team, that's the last Razorback team that had to play in the single elimination round. And I remember a 10-inning, 2-1 win over Tennessee, then the crazy comeback against Florida that went until 1:30 in the morning, and then the team got run ruled two games in a row. So I think we got home. I think we got home Friday afternoon. I think we took a bus ride back, got back Friday afternoon to Baum in the middle of a state championship game. What did that team do in the 2 days after? Did you guys go around the facilities? Did you go around the park, or did you just try to clear your mind before you found out where you'd be sent for a regional?
Well, I think I've told you the story before, but, you know, we were playing that game against Florida, and I thought we were going to lose, and my elbow was killing me. And I thought, okay, I can go home, I can get some stem, I can relax, I can try to get ready for the regional. You know, I got to find a way to get my arm through the year. Well, then Bobby Wernis hits the home run, we beat Florida, and we go into the huddle, and he says, Teague, you're starting tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
And I came out, you know, I mean, I was still going to compete and throw, but I was hurting that game. And I struggled against LSU. We made a couple errors, and they ended up blowing us out. But I remember kind of thinking, you know, if we lost that game, you know, maybe I stay healthy. I don't have that start, and I can continue on. But, you know, the chips fall where they may. When the coach tells you to take the ball and you throw. But I don't hate the idea of losing in the SEC tournament, getting back early, kind of just refreshing. Maybe you don't throw for a day or two. Get some bullpens in. Have your team meetings and kind of regroup, especially after losing the last couple. I think more time is better than not here.
There's a severe talent drop-off from who you face in the SEC tournament to who you face on a Friday in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's the case no matter if you're a one seed or a two seed, and maybe even a three seed in some cases. How much does that have to do with winning games? Because the thing that I know is the teams that are showing up next weekend, you're probably going to have a couple you'll have at least one conference champion, maybe a second potentially. These are teams that know how to win games, which tells me that if you make mistakes, the kind of mistakes that Arkansas made yesterday, you're facing a team that can take advantage of that. And I just don't think Arkansas can play like they did yesterday and get away with it in a regional.
Yeah, I would agree, because a lot of times it seems like those four seeds are teams that maybe are less talented, but like you said, have won a lesser conference or have some age and some maturity on their team. You know, it's guys who have been around the block. They've maybe been to a regional before. They face good teams. They maybe don't have the record, or they're just not in the conference to be able to be a higher seed. But they're not, you know, teams like, you know, like a Missouri who's in the SEC who just struggled in that conference and isn't going to go anywhere. They're usually teams that have some experience and know how to win. So I think you're absolutely right. Sometimes you see the name or you see the record, you're the conference, and you think, oh, we can beat this team. But there's a little more to it because, those, like you said, those teams know how to win. A lot of times they've got some age.
James is with the Teague Law Firm, along with his father, Robert. Teague Law Firm has been around nearly 30 years. Best of Northwest Arkansas. James can help with all family law matters, criminal law matters, estate needs. They're a full-service law firm, and you'll talk to actual lawyers. You can call James at 479-877-1688, or you can go online to teague-law.com. James, talking about family law matters, tell me about dealing with standard divorce.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, the transfer portal and the people coming in and out and leaving. You know, I'm not happy with this program or this team. I'm going somewhere else. And it seems kind of crazy, but kind of in the legal world, that's what we deal with all the time. You know, I'm not happy with this partner or this situation, so I'm getting out of here. I'm going to, you know, grass is greener on the other side kind of deal. And, you know, it's kind of the bread and butter of our firm. You know, we do primarily a lot of divorce, you know, family law, child support, paternity actions. And so every day we're getting a lot of experience in that field, you know, looking at division of property, the intricacies of that, making sure that all custody matters are taken care of, making sure child support is properly determined. And so, you know, in this day and age in the baseball world, there's a lot of moving around, but frankly, there's a lot of moving around too on the relationship side too. It's something that we can definitely handle.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift, selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Eastside Liquor has every alcohol you need as we get close to summer. Green River Bourbon and Rye is flying off the shelves right now. Come check out the new Crystal Ridge Moonshine and Vodka, made right here in Hot Springs. Eastside Liquor, 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
Matt, I see on Razorback Football's Facebook account that looks like today may be freshman move-in day. See some of these kids coming in here to the Marshall. There's some of them in the Smith Football Center eating. There's a couple of the players standing in front of their giant TV. And looks like the first day for some of these kids, too.
How exciting.
Yeah.
How fun. Yeah, go get
it. A little nerve-wracking, too.
Absolutely. A little anxiety. Little, you go through it, but it's cool. And then you meet so many new people and, you know, starting life. Let's go get it.
I had a week before classes started when I went away to college. I had a week.
to get acclimated to campus. All I did was get acclimated to where the parties were being held. I have a feeling these guys have a little bit more guidance than I did as far as that's concerned. Yeah, when I look back on my first two college years, Matt, I think I probably should have stayed closer to home just to have some supervision, just a little bit, just a tad, because I didn't have any, and it didn't go so well.
You had, I think if you had a 3.5 your first semester, you didn't have to go to study hall, and so I made sure I had a 3.5 because that meant after practice, you know, you have your whole day planned for you. You know, you got stuff. But so that meant from 6 to 8 o'clock, you had mandatory study hall. And I was like, yeah, I think we'll just make sure we get these elective classes okay.
Should have been a football player, man. What would have happened if you got, oh, let's, I don't know, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, say, like a 1.6.
Hey, then they put you in those other classes and they give you extra time and they make sure they do all the things they can for you. That's right.
It was a totally random GPA that I just pulled out of thin air, by the way, all right? Don't think that there's any correlation going on. Jack in Tulsa has called us on the McClarty Daniel hotline. Good afternoon, Jack. What's up?
Hey, Phil and Matt. How y'all doing today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you all. I've called in before, but it's been a while. Hey, Phil, you said something there before that commercial break that kind of plays into what I was wanting to ask about. With Arkansas moving into a regional now, we're going to be facing teams that know how to win, that know how to find ways to win. And my concern about this team isn't necessarily our pitching, but it's our ability to push runners across the plate. You know, if you want to put it in football analogy, we can put up 700 yards between the 20s all day long, but we can't score. If you're DVH going into a regional, knowing that, you know, you're going to be facing teams now that know how to win, what do you do to fix that, Phil? Or is it something that's just mental and you hope our bats wake up as we move into the regional?
David said something in the pregame interview about we've been practicing a little bit more on the small ball aspect of things. They just weren't in the situation to try to utilize that in either of the two games that they played. You know, in order to really, you know, play small ball, you need runners on base before there's an out or before there's two outs. And that didn't happen yesterday until they're down 6-0. And, you know, they trailed from the outset in game 1-2 against South Carolina. So I think I wouldn't be surprised to see, not the sacrifice bunts necessarily, because that, what you do when you're sacrificing is that also means you move a guy from first to second base, you still need a base hit to bring him in. First and second, nobody out, I think they might bunt. I think they'll look more to move guys up from second to third and find a way to bring him in, maybe a squeeze bunt here or there. That's the kind of thing that I heard. But it still is going to come down to you need a clutch hit. You're not going to squeeze bunt your way to Omaha. You're not going to sacrifice bunt your way into the super regional. You need to score some runs. You need the clutch hit. You got to have somebody in the middle of the batting order that is driving in runs. And if there's a thing that I can point to offensively is that you haven't had at all this year one or two guys that you say these are our consistent run producers. This is the guy that's going to get us the big hit on a routine basis. It's happened in fits and starts. Sometimes it's Peyton Stovall. Sometimes it's Peyton Holt. Sometimes it's Sprigg Lott. Sometimes it's Aloy. Sometimes it's White. But very often it's not two or three of them doing it in the same game or the same weekend. So, you know, that I think that's also why Dave's just had so many different lineups. It's just trying to get the right guy at the plate in the right situation and hope that that's the moment that he's hot. That's what happened with South Carolina on Wednesday. You get Cole Messina coming up after hit batters twice. That's the guy you want up with men on base, you know, because he's hitting them over the fence, and the guy's just been amazing right now. That's it's a little bit of luck, but it's also lineup construction. So I think they're still looking for that. Yeah, you're not going to small ball your way to Omaha. You're going to hit your way to Omaha, and you're going to hit your way to Omaha by scoring runs, and they're going to be knocked in by guys that are hitting 3-6 in the batting order. That's how baseball teams usually win games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, Phil. I agree. Yeah. Hey, well, thank you so much, and keep up the great work. Now, okay. I enjoy your show.
Thank you very much, Jack. I appreciate it. I do think, and I think I've said this for a while here, Matt, I think, look, offensively, they are what they are. That doesn't change right now. Now, that's not to say you don't go into a regional this next weekend and have some great weekend and hit a few balls over the fence and have a double-digit run total or anything. it would come off like a surprise, but I've seen other years where they've had a little trouble to score and find a way to just put up runs when they needed to in a regional or a super regional.
Yeah, I'm like you said, DVH gets to make the calls. I like Aloy batting at the top of the lineup, even first and second. I think he's one of the best hitters on the team.
They're gonna need they're really gonna need Vejeva Aloy.
Yeah, I like as far as bats, I like his. I think that he's gonna be okay.
But he broke his bat the other day too, Matt.
The metal bat,
one of his two bats. I think it was the dragon bat, and yeah, it snapped, man. I mean, I've never seen anything quite like it. Like, I've seen a broken metal bat, but it's been like a piece of it, like the top of the bat flew off or something like that. This thing just broke right in his hands. It broke like it was a wooden bat almost. But they need his bat. They need him driving in runs. When you are hitting 3 through 6 in the batting order, you're there to drive in runs. However it happens, hit him over the fence, hit him into the gap, ground him up the middle, hit him into the hole at second, but whatever. You're there to drive in runs. 877-377-6963 calls and texts on the McLarty Daniel hotline. Ryan asks about where is Souza. Souza's been getting chances. He has not been hitting. He's played against right-handers or against lefties that have reverse splits, and he's not making very much contact right now. He's had opportunities each of the last few weeks, and I still think he'll get a chance this next weekend. JT wants to talk about grade point averages. Yeah. 1.6 was pretty low. It's at least my first semester GPA was higher than Hagen Smith's earned run average. That usually doesn't go hand in hand. I got it over 2 for the second semester, so I was able to stick around. If I'd have had it under 2 after a year, they'd have kicked me off campus.
Oh, well, never a doubt. You just needed to feel a little pressure. You know, you just...
That's what life is about.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with my daughter about that. You know, she's going through... She just finished her first high school week of finals for the last semester. I'm like, so, you know, all these things you're learning... You're not just learning about the subject matter. You're learning what it's like to live under pressure, because that's what life is like. And that's what baseball can be like, too. Yep. What you do when the lights are on and when the pressure hits you. And sometimes some of us seem to work a little bit better under pressure. All of us procrastinators, yeah, we do it on purpose, don't we? Just so the pressure builds up and you get a little bit better at what it is you're doing. Brandon in Decatur will take us into the break. Brandon, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, you bet. Hey, I'm joining a little bit late, so if somebody asked, I apologize. But a question about Diggs. So he's a good player, did really well last year. Got him in the lineup, specifically at leadoff. But he's not producing anything either. He's a great right fielder, right? But what do you think the odds are of maybe putting Lovich over there and putting somebody else like a lawyer or somebody else to lead off our lineup? That's all I've got. Just kind of curious about him and what your thoughts are.
Thanks, Brandon. Part of the issue with right field is that there's no clear-cut successor for right field, just like there is no clear-cut successor for left field. The only clear-cut outfielder right now on an every-game basis for Arkansas is Peyton Holt. And look, Lovich has hit a little bit. I don't think it's been on a consistent enough basis to say, yeah, you're going to be our right fielder. And he's had some big mistakes in the field. So, you know, putting him in the outfield, I think they might view that as a bit of a risk in certain situations. Because if it's late in the game or even middle innings and they have the lead, he's the outfielder that's going to come out of the ball game in order to put Wilmsmeyer in center to have a better defensive lineup. So and look, putting Diggs at the top of the lineup, I think, is also an idea that work the count a little bit, Kendall. That's what his natural thing is to do, and hope that he finds a way to get on base. But it's not the Kendall Diggs from last year. That also is, I mean, it's been clear for a while. If we're waiting for him to get hot, I don't know when that happens, because we've been waiting for quite a while here. You know what I'm excited about? Enough of this baseball stuff. I'm excited about C-Unit finally completing the trilogy of Back to the Future, which feels like this is like... How have you gotten to 29 without... How do you watch 1 and then not watch 2 and 3? So this is like watching the first Godfather but not watching the second. It's like watching the Godfather and then watching the third and not watching the second? How do we do this?
I don't know. That must take some skill. Does each one get better?
See, are you ready? You better buckle up.
Okay. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear.
Enough road to get up to 88.
Well, where they're going, they don't need roads. There's a railroad in one of these movies, too, which will be very helpful for you. C-Unit, you have an assignment for this weekend as you watch Back to the Futures 2 and 3. We can assign you two movies because it's a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need four predictions from number two, from the futuristic movie. Four predictions that came true and four that did not. And we're going to need this for us on Tuesday to open the show with. It'll be the only thing I care about from the weekend, outside of maybe, you know, who's coming to Fayetteville for the regional and where Arkansas is seated and then the other 64 teams and all of that. So maybe we'll do like a segment on that and then 2.5 hours on Back to the Future 2. What do you think?
All right. I only know of one, so I've got some work to do.
You
Gray
have a lot
Sports
of
Sports Almanac.
Yeah, that's right. He has no idea what he's getting into here, too. That's very good.
How do you know how to start that car? Nobody knows how to start that car.
I love movie predictions. That's the coolest thing when they predict something. It's like The Simpsons. Aren't they famous for that?
Yeah, I think they've been predicting things for. Keep in mind now, I think the original Simpsons came out the same year that Back to the Future 3 was released.
Like 89, 88.
I think it's 89. Yeah. That's how long ago it was. Well, don't procrastinate like I did throughout my entire life. Make sure you get these movies watched. And there are no crib notes for it. There's no...
Cheat.
There's no cheat sheets for this movie. You won't find spark notes or anything like that for this movie. You're actually going to have to watch the
movie. It's easy watching. It flows.
Let's see. It's my son's birthday today. So we'll have I get to hang out with them for a couple of hours, just the two of us, before we've got a dinner in his grandmother's house. And then it's like a weekend. It's like, hey, dude, I don't have any games to call here. I don't have to worry about a darn thing. I don't have to get ready for anything. We don't even know who the opponents are until Monday. You tell me what you want to do. I'm usually the one making the decisions about this. You tell me what you want to do. And then I'll tell you reasons why we can't do that today.
You got Dave and Buster's. You got a batting cage. All sorts of stuff to do. Yeah.
Wonder if we want to go out to a golf range. That's where I'm good at golf, Matt. I'm really good on the golf range. There's a place where I live here, not too far away. It's one of those driving ranges that has a giant golf ball in the middle of the driving range. I'm really good at hitting that thing. Straight, no slice. You get me on the golf course, it's like I've never even practiced.
Golf range would be fun as long as, you know, it gets hot. You got to have, you know, some shade. I don't know what kind of, what it would be called, but you can't be just sitting out in the sun. I'm too old for that.
It's the point now where the local pools are open. Now we can go swimming. Now we can go sit in the pool of everybody else's sweat and SPF lotions that they're putting on their bodies. Now that I think about it, I think I'll stay out of the pool. Thank you very much. Might just go into the ocean if I can find a way to get over there at some point. But, hey, we're nowhere near that. What else can I do this weekend, man? I mean, I watch the SEC tournament. I watch a little bit of NBA, maybe. Watch some Major League Baseball, I guess. Maybe the Pirates or if Skeens is pitching or something else. Otherwise, man, I almost don't know what to do with myself. I don't get these weekends. I don't think I've had a weekend where I haven't called a game since I don't know when. So I kind of need help with what to do with myself here. If anybody out there like knows things that we could do when you're not used to just having time, help me out, please. 877-377-6963. I guess I could figure out some of this stuff with or read more about what the next phase of college sports is going to look like. Matt, I was wrong. You're not getting back pay for this settlement. It's athletes from 2016 through 2020 ish will get the back pay on some of these damages that schools and the NCAA are going to be liable for from this massive settlement that the Power Five conferences have taken have decided to come into. I've always wondered with professional sports. You know who makes the money. you have owners of teams, and therefore, when there's a profit, you know where the money's going to. After all the salaries are paid and the rent is paid and the lease is paid and all the bills are paid, that money goes into an owner's pocket or to shareholders. With college sports, there are no shareholders. There are no owners. There are no people looking to make investments or making a return on their investment. But now there is. The private equity is also coming to college sports. And this organization, I think Weatherford and Cardinal are what they're called, and they've created a collegiate athletic solutions platform in which they're looking to inject as much as $50 million to $200 million into 5 to 10 Division I athletics programs. And I think a few of those are also Power 5 programs. These are organizations that, you know, they'd be looking for a return on their investment, but not as an owner. It's almost like just offering credit to these athletic departments. And I wonder which athletic departments right now potentially could need some giant influx of cash to maybe break a contract if they're looking to get out of a league. Florida State, Clemson. They got money, but do they have the kind of money to break that grant of rights with the ACC? So, but I mean, you're getting now, since college sports is changing so dramatically, now there will be these organizations that are looking for a return on their investment, not as owners, but as almost like private lenders. And they'll get some kind of a percentage of the profits that the athletic departments generate. Now, you know who else has pocketed the profits coming from college sports? Because if you're not filtering the money to an owner or to shareholders, it's got to go somewhere. These athletic departments, I mean, they're nonprofit or not for profit. I don't exactly know which one, but they're not just holding massive reserves. That's the building boom that's gone throughout the SEC in the last 15 years or so. That's the boom in salaries for coaches and administrators and the largesse of what athletic departments have gotten to, in which, you know, it's almost like you joke about being the assistant to the assistant traveling secretary, but you kind of have that sort of thing going on in college sports, a little bit of redundancy potentially. And then you look at Bob Bowlsby, the former Big 12 commissioner, was paid $17.2 million for his last year on the job. Some of that was for the money that had been left on his contract, and I don't know if he was forced out or just asked to leave, and then they pay him $17 million for that. Larry Scott, the guy who literally drove the Pac-12 into the ground, he gets $1.5 million each of the last 2 years. That doesn't even count the near $6 million that Delaney, the Big Ten president or the Big Ten commissioner, gets. That's where the money's gone to. It's gone to facilities. It's gone to, you know, meals for players and into nice travel and hotels and everything that goes into that. But it's also gone into the pockets of administrators. And I figure that might change at some point. Or will it? Because how much more money are each of these television contracts worth now? Once they're now kicking in extra $20 to $30 million per school? Does this mean with athletes being paid a line item by universities, because you've got a budget, I think they're talking about $20 to $30 million for the damages that they'll be on the hook for and for their current athletes to pay. Does that mean that this all comes from the added money from television contracts, or are we tightening the belt a little bit? And what does that look like if the belt gets tightened? Do you think A&M's already gotten rid of a few staffers? Maybe more than just a few. Could that be something that's coming down the pike at some point? You know, I got asked a question that I don't have an answer for as far as the donations to the Razorback Foundation. Could that be something that eventually, you know, goes directly to players? I don't know. I mean, it's supposed to be revenue sharing that athletic departments are on the hook for to spend on athletes. Is that revenue just from TV? Is it revenue from ticket sales, concessions, or all revenue thrown into one, which would also be donations? Or is it just, you know, the Razorback Foundation and the athletic department are two different things? So I don't know the answer to this question. there's a lot of questions to be asked, a lot of questions to be answered. And right now, I don't think that there are really many answers to it. But this is also where I think things become a little bit more equitable. And I have nothing against administrators and the money that they make, but they work really hard, and they're, most of them are really good at what it is that they do. But I feel like the reason that those salaries increased was because the contracts for television increased and athletic departments increased, and there was nowhere else to send that money. You'd already spent all the money on facilities and new ballparks and new additions to stadiums and practice facilities and student athlete facilities and everything that goes into that. And then you end up with commissioners and administrators that are making a lot more money than they did 6 or 7 years ago. And I just figured that probably stops at some point because some of this money is going to athletes next. It's not a professional model. I don't know what to call it because it's not quite college sports. That's for sure. But there's still going to be student athletes, still going to get scholarships. There'll be unlimited scholarships now for sports. I think the conferences will have a chance to make their own rules as far as roster counters and scholarships and a lot of other rules that go into this. And it still also feels a little bit, Matt, like we could be in a place in a few years that if we think this is the thing that's going to stabilize college sports, the SEC and the Big Ten are still making so much more money than the others that it still feels like we're going in the direction of a Big Two and maybe an NCAA still around to host it. I don't know.
Well, if I was you, I wouldn't waste your time with that over the weekend. I'd let that just kind of naturally happen. There was this three-part series called Bronx Zoo. It's the Bronx Zoo 90. It's called Crime, Chaos, and Baseball over the New York Yankees. And I watched that over this last weekend and had Steinbrenner and going in. It kind of starts about 89 and it goes up to 96 where they get their guys and they beat the Braves. And that's kind of, but really the main thing is the 1990 season and how they had the dude that was doing kind of the Billy Bean before that. And they were finding the value and George Steinbrenner had stepped away for a little bit, but it was very, very interesting.
If I remember, I think Steinbrenner was banned for a year.
Exactly.
Stepped away.
It was some gambling issue and some stuff. Yeah, no, it goes deep. It delves in there, man. Check it out. I watched it and it was the best 2 hours of my weekend. It was pretty cool.
That'll be a lot more interesting than digging through the weeds of this settlement.
Yeah, you'll know all the players and just to hear their stories and then to kind of see Donnie Baseball. That was kind of his, you know, he didn't have a lot of postseason success, right?
Like none.
Exactly.
I think he had a little bit in 95. That was it.
He hit a home run and everybody's like, it's the loudest the Yankee Stadium's ever been, you know, because he was beloved by the Yankees.
Yeah, that's right. I think he's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but he's one of the only real beloved Yankees who never won a World Series.
If he would have got into baseball 7 years later and been part of that Yankees squad, 100% he would be a Hall of Famer. Yeah. So that's I think his talent, he was good enough to be a Hall of Famer.
If his back didn't go out, he'd have been around for that 96.
It goes over
season.
Some of that, and then it has one of their homies. It was a right fielder, and he was dating going to the prom with a 15-year-old, and it was and Buck Showalter. He was talking bad about the old timers, and he's like, I'm getting rid of this guy as soon as I can. It was wild stuff. Brought some Cougars. They had a homie from the Expos. You'll know exactly who he is. He brought two Cougars into the stadium. just wild. Just yeah.
One of the things that just I hate about, and it's not like I hate about it. It's just like a heartbreaking irony. Don Mattingly and Wade Boggs. I mean, I guess you could say they had more, it would be a friendly rivalry. They were two of the best hitters in the American League of their time, and they would fight it out for the American League batting crown and MVP and everything. And Boggs never won a World Series with the Red Sox. But the year after Mattingly retired, and his last year was 95, the Sox or the Yankees signed Wade Boggs. And then he's over with them when they win the World Series the next year. So Boggs spends 1 year with the Yankees, wins a World Championship, and Don Mattingly spends his whole career at the Yankees. The year after he leaves, they win the World Series with Boggs in their lineup. I love Mattingly, and I love Boggs too.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Neil, it's like it's all happening at the same time. What's up?
Yeah, and hey, and I have to make a call out to that NCAA softball covering the super regionals there, and we covered a lot of the regionals there too. I'm looking around. I think we're the only ones doing that. Now we're not taking a whole lot of money on it, but it's out there, and that's why you have a little fun with it. And it's fun watching those ladies play softball. Boy, I wouldn't want to take a pitch from some of them because I'd duck. I'm telling you what.
Well, and it's like for a sports bettor, we always hear that the NCAA basketball tournament is Valhalla. I mean, that's where you get all these games to bet on and all the parlays that can go along with that. But I also think about, I mean, this is the week of conference baseball tournaments. It's the same thing as conference basketball tournaments. In fact, there's even more games because a lot of the tournaments, most of them, are double elimination.
Yeah, and that's what's been a lot of that's a lot of fun about these tournaments. So, I look them at like little mini March Madnesses. All of these playoffs. You know, the NBA, the NHL. You know, and then when we got the College World Series coming up, we're already in the Women's Softball World Series. I mean, I just love it. Now the games, there's not as many games as maybe per se once we get into that, but there's always something going on from like 9:30 in the morning I mean, here we are playing baseball, and a lot of people are paying attention to it. And that started on Tuesday. So, you know, it's a lot of fun this time of year.
So, you know, we say these sports like they're one big monolith, and we think about them as being American sports first and foremost, right? When you think of basketball, yeah, there's the NBA right now, but there's also the EuroLeague going on and prop bets on the NBA draft. When you think of baseball, it's not just college. It's not just major league. I know Bet Sarazen's got AAA and Korean baseball and Japanese baseball and everything. I mean, when you think of these sports, it's not just the American sports.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of shift workers in this state, and some people are up in the middle of the night and have different hours. And it's very interesting to see how much we get on like the Korean baseball league, because somewhere, somebody's streaming one and watching it, because we even have some in play, on those games over there. You know, it's not flash bets where it's play by play, but we do have in play betting on some of those, American sports that are played overseas. And they're a lot of fun to watch, and it's different. And you know, just looking at with the Japanese and the Korean players that we're getting in the Major League Baseball, I mean, it's becoming all. I mean, it is intertwined. And from the gambling perspective, the more content that we have out there, the better for us, because that's a reason that each and every fan can come to the website and find usually their favorite sport and bet on it. And if they don't, and ask, and if we can put a line on it, we'll do our best to get one up for you.
You know, you mentioned the flash bets, and that's in-game betting. I know that that's now active for NHL playoffs. But what's the difference between play-by-play betting and flash bets?
Well, there is our developer forgot to change the name on the development site from play-by-play to flash bets. That's the only difference between them. And, I'm telling on myself there. But, yeah, that was just a slight overlook on my part that I didn't catch it, because I was just so excited to see the flash bets for, you know, how we brand those play-by-play betting on the site, that I overlooked that we forgot to change the name from the generic play-by-play to our flash bets. And that's all that was there. So they're the same thing.
So as far as the NBA draft is concerned, and that's coming up in, I guess it's about a month or a little more than a month, it seems that the most famous name in the draft is not going to be picked first, and that's pretty rare. It's about Bronny. And, you know, I know there's a lot of bets available on other apps about where he goes or if he goes and who takes him. Does Bet Sarazen have props on Bronny too?
Well, what team do you want to bet to taking? Right now, Los Angeles Lakers are the favorite at +175, followed by the Cleveland Cavaliers at +1,000. So, you know, and then you got the Sixers at +1,000, and I think the Knicks at +1,200. So, you know, you got some teams way down there at the bottom. But if you look at the top four, if the Lakers for some reason don't take him or something happens and either Cleveland, Philadelphia or snagging, you know, you can get 10-1 on your money instead of just, you know, 1.751 on your money. You know, you're not even doubling your money when you, you know, getting 2-1 if you do the Lakers. And, you know, so there's where your money-making opportunities are. Now, never bet the farm on any of this stuff or the mortgage or anything like that. But if you just want to put a friendly, fun bet in there, and if it comes through, hey, take that money and use it to bet on a parlay. And that's what it's about. It's the fun speculation part of it. And you don't have to bet a lot of money. You can bet as little as a dollar on these fund markets.
We had bets on, I think, on the WNBA draft, NBA draft, NFL, Major League Baseball draft takes place during the All-Star break. That's a little less than a couple months away. Will you guys have things for the Major League Baseball draft? Because there's obviously going to be some localized interest, figuring Hagen Smith goes top 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look at that, but I'm sure we will, because you know Hagen Smith. He's been on my radar as far as drafts, you know, markets, you know, all year long. So, we will have some things on the draft. I don't know exactly what that coverage is going to be. I've been worried about some of the other things that we've been working on and being ready for the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs and some new technology that we're going to be adding to the site over the next couple of months. So, yeah, but we will definitely have that. And then, you know, again, something special this year that we have to get ready for is the Olympics and all of the coverage that we're going to have there, and any opportunities to any Arkansas-centric players that may be, you know, in one of the major markets, to see if we could call attention to that also.
With Olympics, I think, and I've looked at this, it's mostly right now about number of gold medals that each country will win. But when it comes to the competitions themselves, are the competitions that are judged, are those also available, or is that just about, you know, a keep? You know, can you just put money on keeping score?
Yeah, there's ways, but even the ones are judged are going to be a part of it. You know, one of the most popular ones that are judged sometimes are the boxing, you know. And we get a lot of actions on the boxing on the Olympics. And, of course, we get it mainly on the baseball and the team sports that are in the Olympics. But, yeah, and right now you're not going to have a lot of lines. Still qualifying is still ongoing for the Olympics, to make the Olympics. So, you know, all the fields are not necessarily set and who's qualified for it. So. The Olympics, we're going to try to have some fun with it. And the Olympics are at a good time for us because it's a slow time. So it's not going to take away from any of the other major sports. Really, all you're going to have really going on is WNBA and Major League Baseball at that time. And we'll just start beginning to think about preseason football.
Well, you got the conference finals right now in the NBA, and then the finals coming up right after that. There's a lot of options, a big menu for NBA basketball and BetSarazen right now, Neil. There's a lot to look at.
Yeah, and that's right now that's where everybody's focused on. The majority of all of our bets are NBA playoffs right now, followed by is Arkansas on the diamond? That's number two. And then after that, it spreads out pretty even with Major League Baseball and all of that. But right now, NBA, everybody is really, really focused on that. That's 60% of our volume right now. A lot of money comes in on that, and people really love their basketball here in Arkansas. And boy, is next year's college basketball season gonna be fun?
You ready for it to be? Hey, we don't want to fast forward to November just yet, but
I'm wondering about some of the liabilities that I'm going to have to manage and. With the futures and the parlays and things of that nature, it's going to be a lot of fun because, heck, the last time he changed the schools, he won the national championship his first year, I think. So, hey, that's high on the radar.
Liabilities and expectations for a team go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, pretty much so. You know, if Arkansas has that magical season we're all clamoring for. Everybody in the state but me will be happy. And the only reason I won't be happy is on the financial performance P&L review the next month. March has not been very friendly to BetSarazen here lately. So maybe we'll have a good one next year. But the only way we can have but if Arkansas does what they're going to do, I'm going to be biting my fingernails next month. But, hey, we got a lot to do before then. So yeah. A lot to check out this weekend, too.
Hey, you'd mentioned that there's some things in development, and I'll just leave it open-ended here. Is there anything you can you open the hood? Can we get a look under the hood and anything that might be planned over the next month or two for BetSarazen?
Well, probably the number one thing that you're going to see for not letting out, that's something that's super going to be maybe more competitive facing that I might want to let out now. But one of the big things that we are working on is to make where you have total security of your account. I know I've been on here a couple of times and say, hey, don't share your passwords. Just as a teaser, I'm going to make passwords a thing of the past, and you trying to make a bet on a game and doing a password reset. If you've got your phone, not somebody else's, your phone, and that's where your BetSarazen account is, I'm going to give you very, very easy access to it whenever, and I'm going to make it where nobody else can get into it also. So it's a new security protocol that we're going to be doing, and our people are going to like it because I think we've all been there, and I call it password HELL, when you can't remember that password and then you get put into the password reset, then you got even more questions to ask. That is absolutely, or you're calling customer service to reset it. I'm going to make that thing a thing of the past, and I think people will really, really like that. But all I'm doing is making it easier for you to get to your account and making it harder for anybody else to get there. So, we're really, really glad for that. And I know one of the major operators in the country are looking at it too. But it looks like we're going to beat them to being live by many, many months.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Once upon a time, three bears found a golden-haired guest who wouldn't leave their home.
This Dunkin' Cold is just right. Mm, and this Dunkin' Cold is just right.
Should we introduce ourselves?
No, Barry. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.